Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, my favorite is Podcaster Peach. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I'm joined, as I'm always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. Mark, how's it going?
It's going great. I have been putting off getting a haircut for so long that the sides of my hair are, like, the side of my head, the hair is almost growing horizontally,
right,
like, out.
Like, boxy shaped?
Like, yeah, it's becoming... Mm. Well, also, I've been graying since I was, like, 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But
now you've got that gray that's, like, it's swooping back. It's long enough that it's got, like, a little bit of a Doctor Strange to it.
Which I hate. I think I'm on record on this show saying that...
That you hate Doctor Strange?
I hate... Well, yeah, kind of. But I especially dislike...
Because he's so arrogant.
I especially dislike Doctor Strange's hair... style. The side swoops,
yeah,
like, make me sick to my stomach. And so for me
on other people or just on yourself?
On Doctor Strange specifically. No, I'm serious. I don't know if it's the wig.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on, but there's something about it that makes me physically ill. And so seeing it in myself,
right,
like, that's one of the worst feelings.
We hate the things in other people that we recognize in ourselves.
True. It's so true.
There's one of those Doctor Strange wigs in the second movie where the white swoop is so distinct, like, so separate from the dark part of his hair that, like, I'm with you there, sick to my stomach on that. But I'd say, generally speaking, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Mark doesn't like it.
I don't. There's something about it. It feels like a side of the head comb over. Like, what you hiding under there, Doctor Strange?
Mm.
Like, is it only the part by your temple that is growing super long, and so you have to, like, comb it back to hide the fact that you have side alopecia?
I don't. That's a very specific thing that you're accusing Doctor Strange of.
That's my headcanon for Doctor Strange.
Okay, but, like, he could just grow hair, couldn't he, with magic?
I think he could illusion it.
Right.
And so maybe
you don't think it would be real hair. There's always a price to pay for magic.
There's always a price to pay for magic.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think he could illusion it.
Uh-huh.
So he could make everybody perceive that he doesn't have side head alopecia.
Sure. But then he's rewriting people's memories. And, like, what is the morality of that? Is it the same as making people forget who Peter Parker is?
Exactly.
Like, you know, what kind of interdimensional magic beings are we awakening? This is like a vanity project.
Well, maybe this is what Charlize Theron's character is going to explore if she ever shows up in a Marvel movie ever again.
Here's the thing. A lot of those characters, we don't know, right? Like, are we ever going to see that Harry Styles Star Fox character again?
I doubt it.
From the end of Eternals?
I think they're going to pretend Eternals didn't happen. Because, you know, they tease Blade at the end of Eternals.
Right.
And, like, Blade's going to happen.
Is it?
I think so.
I think they're trying so hard, but the only person who hasn't left that movie is Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else has been like, you know what? No, actually, I can't do this. It can't be done. Look, we only have one Marvel movie this year at all, and it's Deadpool. We've gone too far down this track, Mark.
All this is to say, I should get a haircut. That will solve the problem.
Right. Yes, it will. I think your gray looks very distinguished.
Thank you.
And nice. And the swoop makes me sick to my stomach. If you would like to help Mark get a haircut, you can go to patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society, where if you are supporting us at the 8-bit or 16-bit levels, you can get access to our once-a-month episodes of miniseries. We are currently recording a miniseries called NCS Arcade.
Yeah, Patrick and I are playing games that we've never beaten that are also available on Nintendo Switch Online and Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack. We just released an episode about Kirby Tilt and Tumble, which was originally released for the Game Boy Color. That was a really fun discussion. Obscure Kirby game, would say.
Yes.
That was fun to talk about. And
a challenging Kirby game, although Mark didn't think so.
Well, because I cheated, basically.
Well, people got to go check the tape on that one.
And then on this month, in mm-hmm. April, we're going to be talking about a Sega Genesis game. We're going to be talking about Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Which, look, is maybe a little bit embarrassing for me to be like, which, by the way, I've never beaten. But it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I never owned a Genesis. And when Sonic plays so differently from Mario that I remember going to friends' houses and just, like, not getting Sonic. And even when Sonic Mania came out, a game I ended up loving, it took me a long time to understand the physics of it. So now that I love Sonic Mania, uh-huh. I'm excited to check right. out Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Do you think when Sonic the Hedgehog grows old, do you think his, like, quills turn gray?
I do. They probably droop a little bit, too.
Oh, that's... I don't care for that at all.
Maybe that's what we... I would like to see. I was going to say maybe this is what we need, but we don't need it. Nobody needs it. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
We have classic Sonic.
Right.
We have modern Sonic.
This is great.
We need old man Sonic.
Yeah. And look, the old man Sonic, like the old man blank is like a tried and true formula. Again, we're going to see it this year in Deadpool and Wolverine. Wolverine's going to be old man Wolverine. Yeah, I think we should, honestly, I think all of our Nintendo characters we should be seeing old man versions of.
Yeah, like Cranky Kong the heck out of
every Nintendo, single one,
every
yes.
character.
And they all change their name to Cranky whatever.
Yeah,
Cranky
Sonic.
Yeah, Cranky Peach.
Ooh, oh, so fun.
I love that.
I love that.
And she doesn't have to die and become a ghost.
No.
Like Wrinkly.
Mm-mm.
But
they can.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, like, whatever works
old
for the character.
Old Sonic. Uh-huh. Or, sorry, Cranky Sonic.
Uh-huh.
Ghost Sonic.
Wrinkly Tails. special thank you to all of our patrons. We have a new patron. Thank you, Tucker Croft. We appreciate you giving. We appreciate everyone participating in the Patreon and the Discord and listening to the show. Thank you all so much. The Discord, I just mentioned it. If you would like to get in there, all you gotta do is email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. And I will send you an invitation. We can talk about Nintendo stuff until we don't have any more Nintendo stuff to talk about. Which will never happen because Nintendo's been around for like 100 years. It'll be around for another 100 years. You know what I was thinking about getting into, Mark?
Hanafuda cards?
Yes. I was thinking about getting into Hanafuda cards. Because every time I try to play it on like 51 Worldwide Classics, I get kind of overwhelmed and I don't get it. But I think if I had physical cards in my hand, maybe that would be the difference.
I love this for you.
You want for me, so you don't want to do this with me.
I would love for you to understand it, and then you can explain it to me.
Sure, and then you won't play it with me?
Once I understand it, I think I would play it with you.
Okay. It's a real soft commitment I'm getting from you right now.
I can get totally into it. I can. I'm committed.
All right.
I'm going to get a haircut, and I'm going to get super into... the first thing I'm going to do is learn how to say it correctly. Is it Hanafuda?
I think it's Hanafuda.
Hanafuda.
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
But write it and correct us if you want in that Discord, because that's... look, we take all kinds of corrections in the Discord. All right, Mark, let's get into it. We're talking about Princess Peach Showtime. And we're ranking the transformations. Now, this game, like a lot of Nintendo first party games, is character driven, mm-hmm. right? We are being driven by the character of Princess Peach. But you and I have talked about this on previous episodes here, that we don't necessarily feel like this game does a great job of putting whatever Peach's personality is or like developing it in any way, right? What we're getting instead are sort of like the development of 10 different personalities in the forms of these transformations.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going to approach these holistically, right? There's like a look, there's an attitude, there's gameplay systems inherent in all these things. And so we're going to break them down one by one and then try to place them on a ranking of 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm. And I have not beaten this game yet.
Neither have I.
And so I suppose it's totally possible that, you know, on the fourth, fifth, whatever go round with some of these characters.
I think three is the max they go, right?
Is it?
I don't know.
Because I, yeah, okay. Well,
I mean, we don't know. We haven't played all the way through the game.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's possible that there are things that happen in later transformations where they like tweak the gameplay or
right.
some element of that that we have not experienced yet.
Do you find it at all strange that the 10 transformations that we have in front of us right now are the same 10 transformations we knew about before the game was released?
Yeah, it is a little bit surprising that there wasn't like a secret transformation
yeah.
or, you know, some sort of end game thing that happens.
Which I honestly think says more about like the limited number of these things than it does Nintendo like strategically holding anything back. You know, like there's what could you possibly hold back from this list of 10? Like there just is no big surprise at the end of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's different from the we didn't see all of the captures in Super Mario Odyssey before that game came out because there's like 80 of them, right?
But I feel yeah. So I think you're right that like literally the limited number of them, there's
yeah.
10. But I also think it speaks to the limited ambition and scope of this game.
Right.
Like, when you were talking about the 10 transformations and how they don't really tell us much about Princess Peach, this feels like a game that, to me, was, instead of the classic Nintendo game development strategy of creating, like, a gameplay, fun gameplay first, and then figuring out what characters should,
yeah.
like, use that gameplay. This to me feels like, okay, let's make a Princess Peach game. What would that game be? You know, it doesn't feel to me that they figured out, like, a fun gameplay hook and then worked backwards to be like, this would be great for Princess Peach. It feels to me that they said, let's make a Princess Peach game. Here's the budget and the time allotted to do it. And, like, let's work through,
yeah.
you know, just, like, that. And then we arrived at this.
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, we made a Kirby game. And, you know, with, like, it's just a little twist to that instead of, like, devouring the powers, he, like, gets them from being in plays. And they were like, oh, you know what? That's not totally Kirby, but that could be Peach. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I agree with you that it doesn't feel like a game of like unlimited scope or even like a real ambition towards like exploring a bunch of different styles of gameplay or even one style of gameplay very well. And more of like a we need to put out something in 2024. but like for being that is like a decent showing.
Yeah, totally. But I think that's a good point. Like compared to what we know about the development of Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Yep. Or at least what they wouldn't stop telling us about the development of Super Mario
yeah,
Brothers
no,
Wonder.
You're right. Where, you know, there were like thousands of ideas.
Right.
And then they selected the ones. And I'm sure that there were more than 10 ideas for transformations for Princess Peach Showtime. But
but that's what we have.
That's what we have.
We have 10 of them right here. Let's kind of just run down the transformations just kind of by name first, and then we can like loop back around on them and talk about how they play, what they look like, all that kind of stuff. Starting with Cowgirl Peach
and Sword Fighter Peach,
Patissiere Peach,
Kung Fu Peach,
Detective Peach,
Ninja Peach,
Figure Skater Peach,
Dashing Thief Peach,
Mermaid Peach,
and then finally Mighty Peach.
Right. So those are the 10. Should we start just at the top of that list, describing what they look like and sort of what the gameplay is when you encounter these costumes?
Yeah.
Okay. So starting with the cowgirl, close your eyes, picture a cowgirl. You've got it. except I guess there are some like very specific to Mario Universe things here, right? Like she's got, they're clearly Bowser horns on her hat, right?
Oh, okay. I read that as like steer horns.
Okay. And I get that like it feels like the horns of a bull, but like bull horns, right? Like tend to like go out and then come up, right? And are like more narrow. These look like they belong to Bowser.
That's funny. It does make me honestly want to see. Oh, you're right. I just pulled up a picture of Bowser and
yeah.
they are very similar. This also makes me want to see Bowser dressed up like a cowboy. I want to see cowboy. I want to see Bowser in a cowboy hat and cowboy boots.
Now we're saying cowboy a lot. They're very specific to call this cowgirl.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then otherwise she's kind of just wearing like a lot of like brown leather.
And she, you know, I would say the other kind of peach specific flourish to her outfit is her belt buckle is a flower.
Yep. Yep. I like that. I also like that she's got chaps on, right? Like leather, brown leather chaps. But under that, jeans.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing jeans.
Yep.
And I got to say, that's working for me.
It's a good look.
It's a good look.
It is. I like the denim shirt underneath with the sleeve cuffs rolled up.
Yeah. Already short sleeve, but they're rolled up. Yeah. I mean, looking very smart there. And then she's wearing like a red bandana.
It's the brooch. It's the class. Like she wears it as a brooch in the game.
Like as part of the dress.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But here it's like holding the bandana together.
Yeah.
Great. And then of course, it looks like, does she have a holster? Even though like she doesn't, the character doesn't have a gun, but I believe she has a holster.
It looks like she has a holster. I also like that. It looks to me that her boots are maybe like the heel is a little more pronounced than just like a regular cowboy boot. Cause cowboy boots obviously have a heel.
Right.
But this looks more like, like high heel type heel.
Yes, it does a little. I gotta say the boots are pretty understated. Like when you are selecting a cowboy boot, especially to go with a hat that has a Bowser horns on it, that these could be louder boots and they're not.
I also like that her hair is pulled back in a ponytail seemingly.
Yep, I like that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid look.
It's a solid look. She's got light leather gloves and carries a lasso. Which, when you're playing as this, as Cowgirl Peach, she never stops spinning this thing. Like, it is constant. How do you feel? Should we talk also about, like, the gameplay of Cowgirl Peach?
Yeah, let's talk about
the gameplay. So there's sort of, like, two modes, right? There's, like, the normal on-foot mode where you are using the lasso to, like, grab guys or, like, other items in the stage and then throw them. It means that like the boss fights with her are like kind of fun, and that like there's the boss fight at the end of the first Cowgirl Peach level where you have to like grab barrels that he's shooting at you and like hold on to them until he's done shooting like bullets and then toss it back at him. Which is just, I don't know, it's got that like turning the tables on the enemy kind of thing to it. And then there's the horse riding sections.
Yeah, which are more like auto scrollers.
Yeah.
And
do you know what it feels like to me a little bit? Is like level 3 in Battletoads. Obviously a much easier version of it, but like the hover bike section. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
Mark, come on. So famously in Battletoads, level 3 is a level where you hop on a hover bike and then just like the obstacles come at you.
Okay.
And they're in like a prescribed order because it's an NES game. And almost literally the only way to beat it is to memorize it because they come so fast and the game, the, you know, field of play is so narrow that like you can't really see them coming. You have a lot more opportunity to avoid them in Princess Peach Showtime, but I got like flashbacks to surviving that hover bike scene in Battletoads from the horse riding sections of Cowgirl.
And even in the horse riding sections, there are different elements to it. So you still do a lot of lassoing. So there will be the sour bunch. They'll sometimes be on horses or on a train or something. And you will lasso them to like grab them, pull them off their horses.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to jump over barrels or other elements. Sometimes you're jumping. There's one level where you're riding a horse on the top of a train.
Cool.
And you are like jumping from piece to piece. And then they're like this hover bike section from Battletoads that you're describing. Similar thing here where they play with the
with like the depth, right?
Yeah, the depth. So
you
there's
have
like
to
three
be,
tracks yeah. mm-hmm. that you could be on, or like three sections of the level. And like the foreground, midground, and background.
Right.
And then you have to move between them to avoid obstacles.
Just like Battletoads.
Just like Battletoads, I'm learning.
So, I mean, like, all in all, like a fairly dynamic transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's in the Wild West. So there's like something very just appealing about, like, we don't get too many Wild West Nintendo games.
No.
Even when, like, Mario's running around, flying around in the Odyssey, like Toasteria's got more of like a Mexico vibe to it, and not like an Old West kind of thing. Where in Nintendo games do you go to an Old West style setting?
So in Twilight Princess, there's that one section.
Yes.
That it's like old Kakariko Village or something like that.
It's like the old abandoned village, right?
Yes. That has like a Old West flair to it.
Yeah.
But those are really the two that I can think of off the top of my head. It's really not a
Is there a Kirby thing where he like dons a cowboy hat?
I can't remember if there's a transformation where he dons a cowboy hat. There is the sub game where it's like Quick Draw that has like an Old West theme to it.
Right. But then they replace that with like samurai stuff.
Or the samurai stuff came first. And
look, I don't care.
I can't. But yeah, it's not a setting that they go to that often. And it's fun, I think, in Princess Peach Showtime.
You know what character should have a like Wild West set game? Mike Jones from Star Tropics.
Totally.
Because he's the quintessential American boy.
So when he's in the second game,
he
doesn't travel to the Wild West at all?
No, he goes to like caveman times. He goes to ancient Egypt. So that's got your like desert quota right there, is the ancient Egypt part. Then he goes to Sherlock Holmes times. And I forget what the fourth one is. But no, he doesn't go to the Wild West.
Yeah, missed opportunity. That's why that Zoda's Revenge didn't sell.
That's right. It had nothing to do with the fact that it came out in like 1994.
Let's talk about Sword Fighter Peach next.
Let's talk about Sword Fighter Peach. So she's like a musketeer,
mm-hmm.
right? But maybe even fancier.
Yes. Oh, definitely fancier.
And without the Christian iconography.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the I get like Scarlet Pumpernickel.
Yes.
Vibes from it. There's something very like romantic and swashbuckling.
Well, she not only has like a giant feather in her hat, but she also has a rose like mm-hmm. tucked into the band around her hat. So yeah, there is definitely something like very like romantic and like fun about it.
And I think what's fun about these transformations is that they don't limit themselves at all to like, oh, this is the Peach color scheme.
Right.
So this is going to be a sword fighter, but, you know, she's going to have that that pink look to her. Like,
right.
Not at all.
Right. No, it's like it's mostly blue, actually. And she's wearing like a red like shirt under this like blue jacket, although the jacket itself does have like red trim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a smart looking jacket.
It is. It's a good jacket. I love the boots.
Yeah, the boots are really good.
The boots are made of the same. It almost, I don't know what it's supposed to be. Do you think it's supposed to be like blue leather? I imagine it being like plush almost.
Oh, I mean, it looks to me like it's got kind of like a squeaky texture to it. I would think leather.
Mm-hmm.
But the tips of her shoes are the same as like the like outline of the lapel on the jacket is like a bright yellow, like a gold almost,
mm-hmm.
which is also the color of the cuffs on the jacket.
Yep. And then, of course, that like aquamarine brooch is again used holding a kerchief in place.
Right over her neck. It's a good looking outfit. Let's talk about the gameplay a little bit. The sword fighter I almost find to be one of the more frustrating ones because it feels like it has a lot of potential. Most of it is you know, she can jump like always and swing her sword. And you can choose to push either the jump button or the sword button as you are being attacked to either do like a counterattack or do like a special like slow-mo dodge thing. So it's like a parry slash dodge mechanic. And in some ways, I'm like, that could be the coolest, most like classic gamey like thing of all of this. But it's just kind of, it's first of all, way too forgiving. Like the window during which you can push those buttons to counter is huge. But it also like doesn't have quite the, I don't know, it doesn't feel as like tactile and like fun as pulling those off in other games.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like my feedback on this one is that it's kind of like boring.
Yeah.
I think you're totally right that it feels like it has so much potential, and maybe because it's like one of the first that you encounter in the game or
sure.
something like that, but it is the, it's not very fun to play.
It also just like, it doesn't feel that precise. And for whatever reason, the precision, like losing that precision doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't, in a way that I don't think it the cowgirl really matters. Like precision there, just with the sword fighter, you know, we know what it's like to have Link swing a sword and like hit the bad guy and have that like moment of impact. This just sort of lacks that impact.
Yeah. A disappointing transformation, I would say overall.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Up next is Patissiere Peach.
Patissiere Peach. No combat in this one.
No combat in this one.
Let's talk about the outfit.
One is the cutest, for
sure. One of the cutest, for sure. Like, absolutely, she's wearing, like, this gingham dress and an apron and, like, a baker's hat. Toque? What is it called?
I think toque is right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I love that her hair is done in these two, like, rings.
Yeah.
Like, pigtail rings.
These braided rings.
Braided rings.
Yes. And she's wearing, like, big boots.
Uh-huh.
That, and she dances nonstop.
That part, honestly, drives me a little bit crazy. I don't know why.
Want her to focus.
I think it's that she's doing it.
People are in danger.
It reminds me of, like, a fidgety toddler.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, yeah, the cutscene is happening, and the Sour Bunch boss is, like, looming over, and the thieves are crying for help, and she's just, like, doing her little heel toe dance.
Yes. That's funny.
It does bug me a little bit.
Mark just wants her to take it seriously, that's all.
It just makes me think of, what is that movie, like, the red isn't there like a fairy tale or something about shoes that you put on that, and when you do, they
you can't stop dancing,
like the red shoes or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that I don't know what you're talking about, but I buy it. That
yeah,
makes sense.
But that's what this reminds me of. But otherwise, I really like the transformation and her the design of this. I like a lot.
Yeah, it's very cool. What do you let's talk about, like, the, or very cool. It's cute. Like, I think this is one of the more just like straight, like, cute outfits. The gameplay is one of the, like, stronger departures from, like, how the rest of them control, in that it is kind of just two different versions of minigames, right? One in which you are frosting different kind of pastries. You have, like, an example, and you have to just, like, draw it on.
Yeah, you're, like, sitting on a swing.
Yeah.
A giant cake or some sort of pastry appears below you, and sometimes the pastry's rotating, sometimes it's not. And then in the right-hand corner, there's an image that is showing you how you're supposed to apply the decorations.
Right.
And so you have kind of a giant decorating thing, and you are placing the frosting down on the cake. And when you do it in the correct pattern, it kind of transforms into a beautiful decoration.
Right. Right. And, like, it's funny that she's got this, like, big frosting bag that she's, like, piping with. Like, it's the size of her,
uh-huh.
Right? So, like, that's fun. I guess I hadn't really stopped to consider, because the cookies that she makes are also very large. Is she, like, is the narrative that she's shrunk down?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Sure. Yes. It's not really. Yeah, why is everything so
big? Why is everything so big?
Yeah. And then the second part of it is, like, cookie baking.
Yeah.
And what that is you, like, press.
Push the A button a lot.
Yeah, you push it a number of times, and there's a mixing bowl,
mm-hmm.
and the more that you press it, the larger the dough grows.
But don't push it too much.
Don't push it too much, and it kind of, like, explodes in your face.
Right.
And then there are times where a feat will be standing next to a mixing bowl.
Right.
And when you do, when they are there, if you mix to the right amount, you get, it's like a, you get a bonus amount of cookies.
You get a multiplier, yeah. So you are sort of choosing which bowl to mix from. And like, you can see the feet's already like hanging out by it. So like, you can choose to do those. And then you have to, it depends on which version it is. Sometimes you're just putting them on carts. Other times you are feeding them directly to zombies that need to be fed, or they're going to break down the doors. So like, there's which, like, that evolution of it, I feel like adds so much dimensionality to it, because otherwise you're just sort of picking a bowl and then pushing a the right number of times, and feels like really limited gameplay wise.
I feel like this is a, as far as gameplay goes, like, it's a fun break from some of the, like, because it is so different from the other levels. You know, there's no platforming, there's no combat, it's all about those two mechanics.
Yeah, which like, that it does feel like a break, but like, in that way, the rest of the game is also so chill that I'm kind of like, I don't need a break necessarily. I love the way this thing looks. I think it's cute and funny. But I sort of dread going into a patissier level.
Yeah, I definitely don't dread it, but it's not one of my favorites.
Okay. Next up is the Kung Fu Peach.
Kung Fu Peach. Well, I guess we'll talk about the outfit first. Yeah. I love this royal purple.
Yes.
Outfit.
Yeah. What is it? It's like a gi, or it's not really a gi. Is kind of just the shirt, right? It's like a whole like kung fu gown. I don't know what this thing is called.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called either.
But yeah, it's purple, and it's, again, we're talking with like the yellow trim on the sleeves and sort of like up the front where it's like bound in those like knots, that like interlocking knots. And she's wearing a black belt over it, which is also,
it's
very,
like,
very cool.
It's not black. It's like this, right, like dark greenish blue that matches her pants, which I love that color. And then she's wearing knee-high socks, or at least they go up to her pants.
Right.
And
she could be wearing tights, right?
She could be wearing tights, and like the laces go up to her shin. I don't know. It's a very it's a very cool look.
There's almost a little like bit of like ballet to the way like the shoe shin like scenario kind of plays out there. She's got her hair tied back in a again like a ponytail, but it's one of those like big knots of ponytail, which feels very much like a kung fu master. And there's a like a chopstick in her hair, and the brooch is sort of dangling from that.
And I gotta say, her eyeshadow in this
looking good
is looking good.
Okay, now let's talk about the gameplay of Kung Fu Peach.
I really like Kung Fu Peach.
Yes.
To me, it feels like what the Sword Fighter should have been.
I agree with this take completely, because they go through the effort of making, so you're just kicking, right? Like, that's, she doesn't punch, right? It's just kicks?
Mostly, yeah.
No,
I guess she punches.
She is punching,
she like
kicking,
punches,
right,
like the door and stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
But the boss fights are all kick oriented.
But the thing is that, like, when she kicks one of the bad guys, there becomes this like momentum of they then run into the other bad guys, and like the collision feels real, feels tactile in a way that I wish the sword fighting did too. Wouldn't have to be the same thing of like knocking guys into other guys. But yeah, like the kung fu moves feel more physical.
Yeah, there's something really satisfying about, there's one part where you're walking through like a village, and there's a bunch of thieves, and then there's a bunch of the sour bunch.
Yeah.
And you can like kick wagons or like barrels or something like that, and they will go direct, like you don't have to be very precise in the direction that you're kicking it, but
right,
when you kick it, it will run into a bunch of the sour bunch. Or you can destroy some of the like overhangs that are existing,
right?
Or there's a part where there's like a training thing that's like a pillar that has sticks out of it horizontally that's spinning around, and you can just kick the crap out of that and like destroy it. Then there's
not really in the spirit of the kung fu thing, the training, like you should really be like avoiding those things or whatever, but yeah.
But I like that, like I wasn't, the it felt almost like a fun discovery to be like, oh yeah, I can kick the crap out of a lot of this stuff, and
yes,
like it has destruction built into it. Or there's a part where you're like, there's a bunch of small pillars that are, again, it's kind of playing with that foreground, midground, background.
Yes.
And the Sour Bunch are on them, you're on them, the Sour Bunch are jumping around, and like, you have to jump and kick at the right time, but you can also move, you know, forward, background. I really like this one. I think this is a ton of fun.
Yep. I will agree.
Up next is Detective Peach.
Yes. Now, we all know that there's one kind of detective in a Sherlock Holmes.
Yep. And this is no exception. It's basically like, think Sherlock Holmes, but the coat is cut for a supermodel.
Yes, that's right. And then she's wearing like little shorts under it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I don't think, does Sherlock Holmes ever wear shorts?
Does Sherlock? No, probably not.
Probably not. He lives in foggy London town.
Yes.
So I don't think they're allowed to wear shorts in London. Is that right?
I think that's true to this day. she is also wearing like thigh high boots.
Yeah.
That lace up in the front
with like pink laces tied in a bow at the top.
It's a good look. It is what you would expect from a detective, but it doesn't really wow me.
Do you know what she's missing? Because she also has the Sherlock Holmes hat, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a foxcatcher hat. Is that what they're called?
The
hat that she's wearing.
The movie starring...
Yeah, Steve Carell.
Steve Carell.
And probably someone else.
Channing Tatum.
Sure.
And Mark Ruffalo. Have I ever seen this movie?
I have not.
I haven't. He's wearing a prosthetic nose.
Probably. No, you're thinking of Maestro. Yeah, so this she's wearing the Sherlock Holmes hat. But you know what she's missing? Pipe.
Yes.
She's got no pipe.
Yes.
If you really want her to be sure, and a violin, right?
Like, yeah, a violin. It's also kind of just like a boring coat. And even the hat is kind of boring.
Does she get kind of like a shawl or like a little like scarf that's draped over her shoulders? Here, there's some other like layer.
Yeah,
here
is it a little
happening.
Is it a little cape?
Maybe it's a little cape. Maybe it's like a little cape to sort of be more dramatic as she's doing detecting. Mark looking for alternate pictures of Detective Peach to try and
no,
figure this
I was
out.
Trying. I was trying to Deer Stalker. That's
Deer
what
Stalker.
That
okay.
is what the hat is. The other Steve Carell movie,
right? Of
featuring
course,
Channing Tatum and Mark Ruffalo with
and
prosthetic
that's and noses. That's the one, and that's the one with the Russian roulette scene.
Must be, yeah.
Okay.
Design not my favorite,
but we got to shout out a giant magnifying glass.
giant magnifying glass,
like the size
sure.
of her head. Again, we're forced to ask: is she small? Is that what's happening here?
Is something medically wrong with Princess Peach?
Or is she become the Great Mouse Detective in this one?
Yes. Gameplay-wise, I do not care for Detective Peach.
Yeah. So, this is another one that feels like a break that I don't...
This is one that
really
I dread.
Yeah.
This is one that I don't really like. And it feels... I was expecting to enjoy this because, you know, I'm a sucker for whodunits, mm-hmm. for mysteries. So I was expecting to like this, but I really didn't. It's a lot of... And I think it's just because I'm bad at it. Like, the rest of the game is so...
Hard to be bad at.
Hard to be bad at that it makes... I recognize that I must be missing something because there are parts of it where I'm like, are you just supposed to guess? Is there some way that I'm supposed to know what this is? Maybe I'm... I don't know.
No, it all feels like trial and error. Like,
so,
yeah.
But basically what you do is you are wandering around. Sometimes you're presented with like three different doors or three different things. It's something that they do a lot in this is, hey, you're presented with three different things. You have to figure out which one is incorrect. And to do that, you like wander around. And when you're ready to find something suspicious, you like press B and then hold B for a while. And then she has a little animation, like a little cutscene, where she does the Phoenix Wright thing.
Right.
Like, points. And then it tells you whether you're right or wrong. But the stakes are so low. I don't know. It doesn't really work for me.
I mean, it a little bit has the problem of that Christmas Murder she wrote that we watched, where it's like, you can't murder someone at Christmas.
Right.
You can't murder someone in a Princess Peach game. So, like, yeah, like you say, the stakes feel low.
Up next is Ninja Peach.
Ninja Peach. This one, okay, let's talk about what she looks like. A little bit like an ARMS character, almost.
Yeah, I was going to say Greninja. Imagine, yes. Greninja.
Well, because, I mean, we're leading here really with the scarf, right?
Yes.
She's wearing a green and gold scarf that has, like, kind of cool designs on it. And then otherwise is mostly just wearing, like, a black ninja outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And the black ninja outfit and scarf, like, the combo looks pretty cool. And she's wearing, like, red sandals.
I like that she has a braided mm-hmm. belt that has that, again,
yeah, the brooch
like
on it.
The
yeah.
brooch on it. But otherwise, yeah, real Greninja vibes here.
And she's wielding two kunai, which are these, like, ninja knives, which are very, like, silver and intimidating.
Gameplay-wise, I don't like the kind of, like, stealth. In air quotes,
see,
sections.
The stealth is very funny to me. It's super simple, and you are almost never actually genuinely challenged by it. Because, like, you do the stealth really takes like three forms, right? There's the you go underwater, you hide in the grass, and you like hold up the screen to like blend in with something behind you, a wall, a surface of any kind. And then you're just like staying out of the line of sight of sentries as you are infiltrating a space. And it is very, like, it is one of the easier things to accomplish in this game. But I don't know, it's so funny. Like, the presentation of it is so funny to me that I like doing it.
Yeah, I don't really care for that part. But what makes up for it for me is I love the running sections.
Yes.
Where they become auto-scrollers.
Yeah.
And again, it's really simple, like, jump at the right time.
Yes.
That is basically all you have to do. But this game is really good sometimes at making specific moments feel really satisfying, even though the action that you're taking
yes.
is really simple.
Yes.
And I think the auto-scrolling sections where you're, like, running and it's asking you to jump, because there's times where, like, you'll jump onto the wall, and so you'll do a wall run,
right.
And then you have to jump again.
Yes.
Like,
well, that's the other thing, is that she has that, like, wall run jump, but she also, is it this one that she has the wall jump?
It is, yeah. Where if there's two walls, you know,
yeah.
basically, you know, like a classic Mario,
right.
there's, or Metroid, there's two walls close
or
to
Ninja
each other,
Gaiden,
you
yeah.
can, like, jump back and forth to get up a wall. She does have that. But I love the running sections of this. I love the, like, auto-scrolling elements. Those are a lot of fun to me.
And sometimes you can ride a giant wave.
Yeah, yes.
Which is very cool. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this one is pretty good. I could play, like, a whole game of, like, Ninja Peach. You know what I mean?
Yep. That brings us to Figure Skater Peach.
Yes, she looks like she's in Frozen.
Yes, with a shorter gown, so that way she doesn't
right.
trip while she's figure skating.
She looks like she's in Frozen on Ice.
Yeah, that is, yes, a Disney on Ice presentation of Frozen.
Like, right down to the gloves that sort of, like, disappear halfway up her arms,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, that's part of a onesie that she slips into, and what looks like skin there is really just skin-colored fabric because it's cold.
Yeah, it's very Elsa.
Yes.
The gameplay here is Peach is always on the move.
Yep.
She's always skating. And so you are sometimes making circles around enemies in order to, like, entrap them. Sometimes there's, like, spotlights on the ground.
Yep.
And you have to skate to that particular spotlight before it moves and strike a pose and that sort of stuff. I think this is fine. This is a fine one to me.
This feels like a good diversion to me. Like, in the same way that Detective and Patissier are like, here's a different take on this. This one feels just a little bit more like, I'm always going to gravitate towards the more, like, action-focused ones of these.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this, like, generally delivers on that. But I do feel like there's very little to talk about in, like, the look of it. And maybe it is because we can just summarize it as easily as she looks like Elsa from Frozen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not the most fun to talk about it, I don't think.
Which brings us to Dashing Thief Peach.
Now, a mouthful, hard to say. Dashing Thief Peach. She looks like
Zorro.
She looks like Zorro. She, yes, and then like a little bit of Carmen Sandiego.
Yes, the hat for sure.
With the hat. Although like obviously not red. She's mostly wearing like, is it like black or kind of like maroon?
I can't tell. I was trying to pull up another image.
Yes, okay.
And it's really hard to tell. It could be maroon. It could be brown. It could be. It's like a it's like a dark chocolatey color,
yes,
almost,
yes.
Like kind of purpley.
Right, and then she's wearing like a fedora and a domino mask.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything else to say about like the way she looks? This one feels like design wise, like pretty like boilerplatey.
Kind of boilerplate. For some reason, I'd like it more than the boilerplate detective.
Yes,
one, but
yes.
Maybe it's just the domino mask.
Domino mask, like, I feel like goes a long way. She's doing a little bit of a Persona 5 thing here.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yes.
She's Joker right here. And you know, wearing white gloves, which I guess Peach does quite a bit, but not all the time in these transformations. To talk about gameplay now.
This is another one that I love.
Yes. And part of that is just like the level design is very like it feels like a little more interesting and intricate in that you're like flipping a lot of switches to change things and like go through doors and like reverse directions of conveyor belts and stuff, but it's mostly built around this grappling hook.
Oh, the grappling hook is so good. And then when they pair the grappling hook again with these like auto scroller levels.
Yes.
Whereas with the Ninja Peach, when the auto scrollers are very much like just jump at the right time and we will make her do the cool thing.
Yes.
Like run on
yeah.
the wall and all that stuff. Dashing Thief Peach takes a little bit more like actual like platforming to
yes.
say, okay, you did the hook. Now, what direction do you want to go? Or like,
right.
you have to complete the swing. And it's not a lot, but it's just enough, especially when it picks up speed a little bit to make it really satisfying and fun.
Yep. Yep. I absolutely agree. Dashing Thief Peach. Fun. Next up is Mermaid Peach.
Another outfit that I would say is pretty, it's not bad, but
no.
It's pretty rote.
Yes, that's right. I mean, she looks like a mermaid.
Yep.
And so, you know, on the bottom, we've got a scaly fishtail. And on the top, she's got the sort of requisite pearl necklace and a like a tube top, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
That's like pink. And it's sort of the trans colors, right? She's got the light pink and the light blue. Hair just flowing free on this one. She's not tying it up because she's got to be a beautiful mermaid.
Yep.
And gold bangles as well on her wrist.
Yeah, it's a good look. I like that the scales on the like mermaid part of her
mm-hmm.
are a mix between pink and like that.
Yeah, kind of playing
color.
Kind of like playing like, in the same color palette as the tube top she's wearing.
Yeah. Thoughts on the gameplay?
The gameplay is bizarre.
It's singing based, so
right.
her power is that she sings, and when she's singing, she can control fish.
Right, so she's half Ariel and half Aquaman.
Yeah, that's right.
Right,
so you're swimming, and then it's almost like puzzle. Like you command a school.
Do you think
of
they
fish.
Meant for this game to come out last year? Because 2023 was the year that we got live action Little Mermaid and Aquaman 2.
Maybe it would have been just like kismet, like it would have been in the air.
Right. Yes.
So you're swimming around and then you'll encounter little almost like puzzle elements, like giant clams that you need to open,
you need to move them or yeah.
or like seaweed that has to be unfolded in a precise order.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you as you're singing,
mm-hmm.
you stop moving when you sing. It's a little Resident Evil 4-y. So when you're singing, you stop moving, but you control this like beam of light that can gather fish. And when you have fish, they can you control the direction of those fish. And so if you need to open a shell, you would have the fish swim down and then up, and then they'll like push it open.
Yes.
Or you would command them to like swim to the right and then to the left to move that piece of seaweed, and then control them down to move another piece.
Right. So it's a lot of, and like you don't really have to be too aware of where Peach herself is positioned during all of this, because like the fish are doing most of the collecting of things anyway. This is one where I feel the sort of rewards of Princess Peach Showtime are almost entirely in the experience and not in the gameplay experience, because it is really interesting and fun and funny to see these prop fish moving around these stagecraft clams and stagecraft seaweed panels and all that kind of stuff. And the fact that while you're engaging the singing mechanic, she is singing, and like she sings along with the background music. So like all of that adds up to an enjoyable experience. But while you're doing it, you're kind of like, what am I doing? Right? Does that read true for you?
Yeah, it is. But you're right. It is an enjoyable experience. And like you said, when she's swimming around, like if you're not pressing the sing button, the background, like her voice fades out.
Right.
And then when you push the button, her voice picks up right in time with the background music. Like
yep.
All of that works really well. The kind of finale of the first level where you're the mermaid is a concert. And so there's like a big orchestra, like a sea creature orchestra playing, and
right.
then other fish swim into view. And what you're trying to do is collect them
yes.
in the allotted time that you have. I don't know. It's weird. It's bizarre, but it kind of works for me as
yeah.
an experience.
I mean that, yes. And for me, this is where like it demonstrates the specific and unique joys of Princess Peach Showtime. I can't say that it's like my favorite joy or pleasure in the game, but it does feel almost the most unique.
It's unexpected for sure.
Absolutely.
Finally, we have Mighty Peach.
And I gotta say, I've not done any Mighty Peach levels.
Okay, I have done a Mighty Peach level, and it is not super memorable to me.
Okay, let's talk about the outfit first. So it's a little bit Power Ranger Peach. Like, I guess that's the broad pitch here. But, like, she's kind of just wearing, like, a generic superhero outfit,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's red.
Yeah.
It's like a dress and again a kind of tube top thing over a black bodysuit.
It does seem like a black bodysuit, and then like these red like flared cuffs around her wrists. And then her boots are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a maroon sort of color. And they've got that sort of, you know, superhero like different sections to them where like you're like, is that a separate knee pad or is that part of the boot? So it looks a little bit more like kind of Iron Man-y there.
And she's not really wearing a helmet. It's like a visor with ears with like what would you call that? Like
it's like in Mission Impossible Fallout when Tom Cruise and The Witcher, what's his name?
Yeah, Superman.
Superman. When they jump out of the plane at the beginning, that they're wearing these like helmets that are, like
Henry
oxygen helmet.
Cavill.
Cavill, yes.
Cavill.
Where it's like got a huge window to the face. That's what this looks like.
Yes.
And then, like weird little red ears holding them onto.
Yeah, like almost like headphone type.
Yeah, like ear headphones.
Covers. Yeah.
I didn't need to invoke a Mission Impossible 6, I guess, but I did.
Okay, so the part of this that I remember is at the end. Oh, so there are UFOs that are abducting Thetes. And so in the beginning, you're just kind of like punching the UFOs and they fly away. But then there's a flying, side-scrolling, auto-scroller type level where there are more UFOs and you're like shooting them and all that kind of stuff. It's not that memorable to me. Like I would say that it's serviceable. It delivers what it promises, but
yeah.
It's not particularly fun.
There's
or exciting.
There's some part of this that feels like bog standard near future anime nonsense that I don't really care about. It makes me think of the section of Live Alive that I was the least interested in, the near future, which was sort of the same thing. I have yet to play it, but kind of my least favorite of these so far.
I feel like
I think
I just wish all of it was a little bit more specific and weird.
Yeah.
Like, it is so generic superhero-y. I don't know, like, I'm disappointed that this is what a superhero Peach looks like. It feels like it could be so much more than what it is. And I feel that way about the gameplay, too. Not very memorable all around for Mighty Peach.
Okay, so now we have been through them. Let's start to nominate some of the bottom of the list here. And I think, like, Detective, Mighty, and possibly... the Patissier is so cute, so... Well,
but I do think that that's right, that that's, like, the bottom group. I just don't think the Patissier... I would say, okay, for me, the bottom, like, four that we could then figure out would be Detective, Mighty Peach, Sword Fighter, and Patissier.
Ooh, because the Sword Fighter as a costume, not particularly compelling, right?
And the gameplay, not particularly compelling, but not bad.
Not bad by any means. It just, the thing that is most frustrating about the Sword Fighter is that it could be very good, and it's not. But so I think probably we're saying Detective Peach 10, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Of those four, probably the worst. Then maybe Mighty Peach, because like I find the costume to be like the least compelling.
The costume's the least compelling, and the gameplay I think is more fun than Detective, but it's not very dynamic.
Yeah, and she doesn't even have a hat that we don't know the name of.
Yeah, that's right.
So then above that, do we go Patissier or Sword Fighter? Now the Patissier, look, I may not love the gameplay, but the outfit is so
cute. High marks for the outfit. Yeah, I think I would go Sword Fighter next.
I think you're right.
And then Patissier above that, buoyed purely by the outfit.
Yes, and possibly Dr. Point because she won't stop dancing.
Unless the shoes she's wearing are cursed, and by putting them on, she can't help it, in which case, and not her fault.
Right.
But
still Dr. Points.
Still Dr. Points.
Also possibly shrunk down. We don't know. All right, so in maybe the next category above this, I think that's where we put probably the figure skater and the mermaid, right, is sort of the middle. Because I sort of feel like the rest of them, Kung Fu, Cowgirl, Ninja, and Dashing Thief, those are in the competition for, like, the best of them, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, mermaid and figure skater are sort of in this, like, middle space here. I think probably mermaid is next. And then with the figure skater above it. But let me know what you think about that.
My instinct was to go the other way.
Okay.
Just because I liked, like you said, like the holistic experience of the mermaid one. This one is tough.
It's tough, right.
The figure skater, I do think the gameplay
is more fun.
Is more fun.
But less unique.
Yeah, but the experience of the mermaid thing is a cool experience.
I mean, it comes down to which do you prefer, Frozen or Little Mermaid?
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, right?
Oh, it's really on the line right now.
I mean, if is it one to one, if that's exactly what it is, the answer is Little Mermaid.
Yeah,
right?
I do think it's Little Mermaid. Okay, for me, I think I would go figure skater then mermaid, but I don't feel super strongly. So if you
let's
have,
do that, let's okay. do that. Let's do figure skater next. And then the mermaid coming in at number five, which means then we have to sort out the top four, which, again, just to recap, are Cowgirl, Kung Fu, Ninja, and Dashing Thief.
My opinion is that I don't know the order exactly, but I would do Cowgirl and Ninja as three and four and Kung Fu and Dashing Thief as one and two, some sort of order. I don't.
So where I push back against that is I think the look, if I'm just judging the look of these four, Cowgirl number one.
The outfit is very good.
The outfit for Cowgirl Peach is so good, if only because of the hat with Bowser horns on it. It's just such a striking detail.
Uh-huh.
As if to imply where another, I mean, first of all, putting a bull horns on a hat. Already crazy, right? But, you know, to be like, okay, because like a cowboy conquers the bull, okay, whatever, but like this means that she like beat and killed Bowser.
Yeah,
and put his horns on her hat.
I like to imagine in this universe that just like Buffalo, there are just roaming hordes of Bowsers out on the plains.
Right, before the white man came through building a railroad and wiped them all out.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, Princess Peach, the lone cowgirl out on the prairie, rounding up Bowsers.
Yep.
And eating Bowser meat to survive.
I also just think the giant, or they're not giant, but the big, like, leather gloves and the boots. I don't know.
The look is very good.
The look is very good.
The look is very good.
So I understand that it's gameplay wise. I would also probably put it third behind Dashing Thief and Kung Fu. Find the look so good.
I know. No, that's a good point, because I would say the counter to that is Dashing Thief, where the outfit I don't really care about that much.
Right.
But the gameplay is a lot of fun. And it's not that the gameplay for Cowgirl is bad.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It's got that level 3 of Battletoads quality to it sometimes. But I think what we have to reckon with is the fact that the Kung Fu Peach kind of has both the look and the gameplay going for it.
That is true.
Right? Like, I think her wearing that, like, battle kimono or whatever it is just so sick. And then the gameplay is, like, genuinely satisfying. And she's knocking bad guys together. So that may be number one.
That may be number one. And then Cowgirl number two. And then I would put Dashing Thief above Ninja.
Yeah, I think that's how I go as well. So we're saying number four, Ninja, number three, Dashing Thief, number two, Cowgirl, and number one, Kung Fu.
Let's just read it back. Okay. I feel good about this.
I feel good about it too, but let's assess where we are. Detective Peach at number 10.
Mighty Peach at number 9.
Number nine. That's funny the way that works out. Number 8 is Swordfighter Peach.
Number 7 is Patissiere.
Number 6 is Figure Skater.
Number 5 is Mermaid.
Number 4 is Ninja.
Number 3, Dashing Thief.
Number 2, Cowgirl.
And the number one best transformation in Princess Peach Showtime is Kung Fu Peach.
Yeah, I mean, that reflects my feelings. Does it reflect your feelings as well? All right, Mark, that's our ranking. Let's close this out. All right, that is going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate you listening or contributing or whatever you do for us. We like it. Thank you in particular to our 16-bit patrons, Connor McKay, Patrice Millette, David Henley, Alias X, and Kyle Seaborn. We like that you are here with us. Remember, if you'd like to join our Discord, all you got to do is email us at nintendocartridgesociety@gmail.com. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8BitBetty. You can get more of his music by going to 8BitBetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ehlers, saying thank you for listening.